The gospel reading comes from the 11th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks, Jesus. Speaking of money, no. All right, here's the joke of the day, and I'll need a chair. So this is from Nicole Barassa Burke, from the Ralph Milton website, Rumors is called, that I look at jokes for. So a homeless man down on his luck, who went into a church that was known for its rather uppity social reputation, went in there and spotted the man's dirty clothing. The usher stopped him outside the church door and asked him if he needed help. "I was praying," said the homeless man, "and God told me to come to this church." "Well," said the ushers, "perhaps you should go back and pray some more. You may get a different answer." The next Sunday, the man was there again, and again the usher stopped him at the door. "Well, did you get a different answer?" they asked him. "Yes, I did," said the man. "I told God that you don't want me here. But God said, 'Keep trying, son. I've been trying to get into that church for years, and I haven't made it either.'" So, you know, our Bible says a lot of things, and then when we get to Jesus, Jesus says a lot of things. And the older I get, I just want bottom lines. Just give me a bottom line. You know, I'm only 49, and there's some who are twice as old as me in this congregation, I know, and probably have a better understanding of bottom lines than I do. But I want a bottom line. So in the gospel reading, one of my favorite verses, and what's that group that sings that song, "Come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest"? The song with the there's a vocal group that sings this, a beautiful rendition of it, very nicely done. "But come unto me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's a bottom line for me. Jesus is inviting us to something. So what is that thing? So for me, I'm going to give you the "for me," and then in the end, we're going to have a task together. But I'm going to say for me what it is. For me, it's about generosity. That's why I talked at length with the kids about God drops and how that relates to giving. I mean, I think that's important for all of us. Generosity. So what is it? Generosity of time, generosity of things and gifts that we have, generosity of money, and generosity of the heart. So first, generosity of time. I think all of us, if you're my age or older, or moving towards my age, so we'll just say 50 for roundup. The older you get, I think, You think more about time. Maybe it's precious. Maybe you've missed it. What's left? I mean, time is an important part of our lives. We all know that. You can't get it back. You don't know what it's going to look like in the future. Time is important. It's important to all of us. And so when I think of generosity, that word, and I think of generosity because I think of God's grace freely given to us, the most generous thing, the most generous gift God gives us is grace. And so our response, any kind of response that we have, is generosity. That's my word. That's my key word. I have three words, generous, attentive, and joy. But my first one is generous. Because it can mean so many things. So time, with generosity of time. What do you do with the time you've been given? PLU, Pacific Lutheran University, where Beth and I graduated, they have a program specifically designed for incoming students. What are you going to do with your one and precious life? That's the question that's asked. Regardless of your major, everyone has to go through that process. What are you going to do with your one and precious life? And my response would be, once you know that you have a precious life and you know that God's grace is in your life, well, the answer is to be generous. So what does that look like? Well, that brings us to things and gifts and money. Now, let's say by chance you've had viola lessons. I didn't want to offend the viola people. Those are not violins. What could you do with those things? Well, you could play one of the most beautiful pieces most beautiful piece of music I've heard today. That was fantastic, in case you weren't listening. Beautiful gift. Thank you to the viola people today and whoever else is doing music today. Music is a gift. The church embraces music and loves music because it's a way to show us grace. It's a way to show us love and mercy and to soften our hearts. And that's why the Lutheran church loves music so much, because music can do what nothing else can do. It can change lives. It can change my life right now when I come here, because that's the song I needed to hear. And that verse, that phrase, is what I needed to hear to know that God loves me, that I'm forgiven, that it's okay. Things, gifts, and money. That God drop image, besides gifts, talents, money. You know, this year we're down a little in giving. If I'm just letting you know, in case you haven't seen in the bulletin, down a couple thousand for the year. We'll probably catch up. You have a good history, St. Mark does, of figuring out how to be square at the end of the year. And if we're not, then maybe the next year. But the point is, money is a gift. And what do we do with it or don't do with it? I would suggest, if you've experienced God's grace in your life and you know about your gifts, if you've been gifted with money, be generous. Now, that's going to be your own personal understanding with your prayer towards God, with seeing the needs around you. Being generous might be giving 1% here. It might be a neighbor or a family member or a friend. Because the opportunities to be generous are all around. Kids talked about that. One of the kids lifted up on TV, you know, helping kids who are hungry. And we do that as a church, too. And that's the beauty of corporate giving, of giving and pooling our resources and putting that in that basket and sending that little basket to the synod. And then that basket gets bigger and goes to the church-wide office. And then that's a very big basket to make a difference in the lives of people. A real difference. Not just one God drop, but it's tenfold. Or it could be 100-fold. Money. And then there's the heart.
the heart part.
I think that's really the beginning. You know, we have time, we have things, we have gifts, we have money, but it begins with that little thing, that little piece of God. And God saw that it was good. That's us, creation and us. Even though Paul talked about the sin of the flesh and that it's hard to be good and to know that we're good and to remember and feel God's grace, and Paul struggled with sin like we all do. But, and God saw that it was good. We all have a drop of God in us. God's grace for us, God's grace to give away. So it's the, when I think of generosity, I think of maybe the dryer sheet metaphor. So you remember when there weren't dryer sheets? And your, I don't know what your clothes were like before dryer sheets, but they must have been harsh. They must have been, you know, they didn't smell like breeze. What's that? Static. Yeah, you pull them out, everything's electric. Ah. You throw a dryer sheet in there, things soften up. They smell a little better. There's not quite as much electricity. When you know God's grace, that's what can happen. Your heart is softened, opened up, pliable. You can get in there and release generosity. Release the drops of God. Small things can become big things. That's what that represents, this drop, this raindrop of God. Small things can make a big difference. I'm thinking about our community garden. Now, when we came to this church 2 years ago, first of all, you know, I always say I hate gardening. I don't hate gardening. I just don't like it. But but I'm understanding more. But you get around people who love stuff, and pretty soon, all right, maybe it's not so bad. I used to not like car racing. But you get around people who like car racing, anything. It doesn't matter, you know, what they have a passion for. So we have this community garden. And there's a proposal to, for the, at Camachin, they have a greenhouse. And there's going to be a proposal to the council coming to be able to procure that greenhouse for us so that we can make even a larger impact in the community. Now, the only reason that that greenhouse is even being thought about, English teachers, please, I'm sorry, it's thought about, is because when we first got here, we decided, hey, let's have a relationship with the school across the street. And it was just a simple gesture. Let's think about that. And now we're getting a greenhouse that can make a difference and provide thousands and thousands of dollars more food at a cost savings test because we can grow things internally and for ourselves. I mean, it's a huge thing. But it started with just one little thing. Hey, I wonder what we could do over there with them. And from that, the garden has expanded. We've probably had, 600 students come over? 600 students from our community come over and learn about gardening. And the most important thing, and this is, I'm going to say this is kind of a big thing to a small thing to a big thing. So, and this relates to me. So, we're there and helping do thing, and I've shared this before, this story, but so they, one of the snacks after was this power salad. It was kale, mustard greens, collards, and whatever another thing like that is. You know, this things nobody should really eat. But however, when you have a good vinaigrette, you know, like we'll see what those baskets produce on the 13th of September. But when you have a good vinaigrette, which I like vinaigrettes, that was tasty stuff. And I like the texture. It's all crunchy. And there was no bitter anything. None of them were bitter. So fast forward 3 weeks later, a month later, I'm in Safeway with Beth. And I'm saying, well, we gotta get kale. Now, what? A month ago, I thought kale was just not, you know, as a friend who eats meat, you know, that's what I eats, you know, that kale, that kind of green thing. But here I am looking at Safeway like, oh, that's that's tasty kale. You know, like instead of trying a strawberry, I'm trying some kale. And it was delicious. And that salad is fantastic. One little thing. It was that woman who came to help in the garden who talks about nutrition from the food bank and got me to somehow try this kale salad. And I got it at home. And I'm talking about it in church. One little thing can be a big thing. So that's my word, is generosity. So now the task for us is, through the summer, I want to come up with, I'm just going to say five just because it's a handful and it's a good number. Five words for our community. If St. Mark is noted for five things, the five God drops of St. Mark's, the five words that best describe us. Now, I'm giving you one. Well, and maybe that's being selfish, but I think generosity is a pretty good word. A lot of people use it. Generosity is the first one. Now, some of you could probably come up with another word right now, because some of you are quick thinking thinkers. Some of you need more time, so we're not going to come up with words right now. What the task is for us through the summer and into the fall, when we have rally day, we're going to present these five words. Generosity, blank, 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 and blank. So this is the one word, and so for all of you, you get one word. Well, I told you I had three personal words. You can give three if you want. Now, you can send it to Pam through email. You can send it to me or Pastor Beth. You can leave a voicemail on the thing. You can write it out and put it in the... However you want to communicate that word and what that word means to you and what it looks like. I've shared with you some of what generosity means for me personally, what I think it means for us as a church, and what it means for the world. So that's our task. What are our four other words for St. Mark? The words that can define us, can bring us together, and share God's grace for the world. Because it does make a difference. Thanks be to God. Amen.